Blog Talk Radio.
Bang, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dr. John, and welcome to ScaryCast. Once a week, we bring you the scariest and coolest stuff on the internet. And we've got nothing less than that tonight. First of all, I've got my host, Rob Kellum, Papa Stroh, and we've got Tammy Trichel, our guest from the She Squatchers, at midnight. Midnight tonight, because it is currently 11 p.m. Eastern. At midnight tonight, we have a world premiere of a brand new song called True American Hero by the Sasquatch Squad of Atlanta. We'll tell you more about them later. So midnight, we've got a world premiere of True American Hero, all about Bigfoot. But right now, I want to welcome my great friend and co-host, Papa Stroh. How are you doing tonight?
Great.
We are glad to have you here. We just had a rousing WCW Retro. It was always a lot of fun to talk about the great stars of yesteryear and today, and it's always good to have you here, Papa Stroh. Welcome anytime, and just so glad that you're here with us as a co-host. Tammy.
Thank you for having me.
Tammy Trichel. Tammy, you are welcome. Tammy Jackson, one of the She Squatchers. I was so pleased. In fact, Papa Stroh and I both met you this past October in Kingsport, Tennessee, as part of the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. Thank you so much for being with us. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. I'm in Minnesota, and we just had a blizzard, so big fun. But I'm doing very good, and I'm hopefully and anxiously awaiting spring's arrival.
I'm sure you are. I hate to tell you this, but it was 72 degrees here today in Myrtle Beach.
Oh, man. Just the fact that you said the word beach makes me want to be there.
Well, it's beautiful down here. I was actually traveling, working on some of our events. I was in Carolina Technical College, and then I was in Camden, South Carolina, meeting with some folks about a future project. It's going to be a lot of fun, especially our friend Dr. Trey Donaway, such a super guy. He will be sometime in the next couple of weeks. Travels a lot, so we have to catch him when he's back here in the States. But really good guy, and just glad to be with everybody. Came back here. We did WCW Retro, and it was a lot of fun. And now we get to talk to you. You are the last of the three She Squatchers from Tennessee, from the Tennessee Conference, that has been with us. Glad to have you. You've got a varied past in terms of why you're a member of the She Squatchers, some of the other things that you can do, and you, believe it or not, you also have a life, don't you?
I do.
I know, it's great. So tell us a little bit about how did you get involved with the She Squatchers. And for those that don't know, the She Squatchers are an all-girl group. I don't do male and female. I do guys and girls. So it's an all-girl group that comes out and searches for Bigfoot. And you have had some successes. And the only thing that I will tell everyone is Lauren Coleman, the great cryptologist from up in Maine, he was one of the inspirations, I believe, to get the She Squatchers. But just tell us about you and your involvement, and how did all this get started? It's just really wonderful, Tammy.
Well, my involvement with the She Squatchers came about because Jen and I have been friends for many years, and we've worked on other projects together. We used to do psychic events together and do psychic readings and, you know, travel around and do psychic events. And, you know, we both kind of pulled away from that a little bit, and we're focusing on other things. And she was the founder of the She Squatchers, and she's had the group for a couple years. And I was talking to her one evening, and she said, you know, I really think that you would be a great addition to our team. You know, what can I do? You know, how can I get you to be with us? And I'm like, well, you can ask me. And so she asked me. I mean, we had tried to do it before, but she was had some other members that, you know, hadn't really wanted friends to be in the group together. And so because her and I went way back, you know, it didn't really work out at that time. But this time when she asked me, I was like, you know what, I really would like some adventure in my life. I have been craving travel and adventure, and I would love to do this. And she's like, well, do you believe in Bigfoot? I was like, well, I've never met him, but I am definitely willing to learn and to, you know, be open-minded about it. So that's kind of how I got into the group, and, you know, on our adventures and doing all the research that we've been doing, we have come across evidence several times that proved that Bigfoot is real. And now I'm 100% committed to the Bigfoot is real. So.
Okay. So you're 100% committed to the Bigfoot is real.
Yes, sir.
I guess I'm going to put it differently. I'm going to say Bigfoot exists, period. I've had my experiences. I've seen things, and it's really interesting. I think when I started this whole adventure, it was 2.5 years ago. I'll digress for just a minute, and it's going to tie into what you were saying. 2.5 years ago, in fact, Foster was on Comic-Con Stars with me, interviewing Bill Lancaster, who had just was in the documentary, The Culture of Bigfoot. And he said, you know, in about 9 weeks, 50th anniversary of the Patterson-Gimlin sighting is coming up. Something happened to me. It was almost, I won't say it was a religious experience, but I'll say it was an experience of some kind. I said, you know, we need to honor that. Because 50 years ago in 1967, the creation of that footage has engendered an entire industry. Tammy, don't you think so? And Bigfoot's a little bit of an industry with all the people that believe it, that want to go out there and hunt for it and everything. What do you think? Do you agree?
Yeah, definitely. I think that it's definitely gotten a lot of attention, and most recently, a lot of people have come out and are starting to share their experiences, things they wouldn't talk about years ago because they didn't think anybody would believe them. But with everybody out there now and in the public eye and, you know, stating that they've seen it and witnesses and evidence being collected, people feel more comfortable about sharing their experiences.
Well, they do. And what happened, I was able to get this thing put together in Kingsport, Tennessee, at Mountain Park. It's been wonderful to work with. I asked Papa Stroh to headline it because I always feel like I have to have a star, and Papa Stroh is, other than being just a really good friend, he's an actor. He's an incredible wrestler. Got some of the best stories and the best experience in the world. Papa Stroh, there's a big shout out to you. We're so glad that you came with us on that first Tennessee Bigfoot conference. You go. Got to thank you for that one.
For sure.
Yeah, and so what happened was we kept doing it, and Matthew Delf, my good friend, he introduced me to you folks. And I talked with Jen once, and I said, golly, these ladies would be great to have as a guest. And so I asked, you accepted, and here we are. We had a great time because you and Jen and, of course, Jenna Grover went out with Matthew Delf up there in Kingsport, well, around the Kingsport area to do some squatching. You want to, like, fill us in a little bit about that story? I hear it was a lot of fun. You got some real results. Do you mind sharing a little bit about that event?
Sure. Yeah, we went out 2 times that day. The first time we went out and he was leading a Bigfoot hunt, and there were other people there with us. And on that part of it, Jenna, he had led us to a tree where he had collected evidence before of hair, and we were looking around, and Jenna looked over at the tree, and she said, look, there's still hair on there. And so we collected that specimen, and there was a hair follicle on it, which is super important when it comes to getting DNA. And so we collected that and turned it over to you to do some research with. And then later that night, we went back. It was just the She Squatchers and Matthew, and we went up into the mountain again. And we actually, with Jen doing remote viewing, she saw on the map that there was a Bigfoot only like 50 feet away from us. So I got out with a flare and I pointed it over there. And sure enough, there was one just sitting up against a tree with his back up against a tree, like he was just hanging out. And I'm sitting there trying to get it to take a picture or record the video, and I couldn't figure it out because I wasn't familiar with the buttons and it was dark. And so I kept saying, hey, how do I turn this on to record? Hey, and nobody was paying attention to me. And I'm like, guys, how do I get this thing to record?
So that folks know, you're talking about the FLIR camera, which will take pictures, infrared pictures in the dark, correct?
And video. So eventually, Jenna turned it on, and lo and behold, I got some video footage of Bigfoot sitting up against a tree.
My goodness. What more can you say?
Right?
Evidence out there. Yeah, and it's wonderful. And you know, interesting, if memory serves me, posted that, and I don't think I've actually ever seen it. That was posted on the She Squatchers Facebook page, right?
Yes, and on our YouTube channel.
Okay, I need to check that out. We all need to check that out because I think that's very interesting. And what I would like to do, with your permission, Matt and I have a podcast called Big Company, and we would like to, if we could get your permission, post it there, because we are getting a lot of hits, which is kind of interesting, and I'm very happy that we are. So I'll check with all three of you, make sure it's okay. Does that sound good?
That sounds good to me. I'm sure Jen and Jenna won't mind, but yes, it's definitely good to clear it with all of us.
Oh, I know. I like to check with everybody. Now, if you don't mind, because this is how you and I first connected. I did not know you. I hadn't spoken with you or anything when I came down here. And work together, correct?
Yes. Jen and I did events, psychic events together. Well, we didn't do our readings together. We were at the same psychic events at the same booth, but we didn't do group readings.
Okay. And readings, do you mind telling us a little bit about your experience as a psychic reader and some of the things that you've come across and how you do it? Do you mind sharing that with us?
Oh, no, I don't mind. Well, I have many different facets to being a psychic. I'm a psychic medium, and I can speak with dead people, spirits. They don't like to be really called dead people because they're no longer people. And I
not dead, they're just somewhere else.
They're just energy. It's a change of energy. I can communicate with animals, and I am also a medical intuitive, which means I can look at a person and I can go through their body and tell where they have had injuries in the past and things that are going on with them currently. And I can read people's auras, which help me to decipher what areas of their body are hurt and what kind of mood they're in, what kind of temperament they have. There's many things that I do. I can communicate with otherworldly beings and entities of all realms. So I have a lot going on there.
Yeah, it's amazing. I was talking with my buddy Trey Donaway today. We get together at least once or twice a month at McDonald's in Camden to talk about this kind of thing. What I like about him is he is a surgeon, But he said to me, I don't know what happened, but one day I just started telling him about the Mandela effect. And then I looked at him, you know, Trey, you've got an MD degree from the University of Pennsylvania, and I'm just some schmo with a PhD from NC State in computer science, so I'm pretty cool to begin with. And I'm telling you about these things, and I hope you do not think that I'm a lunatic. Because I was telling him about some experiences about time stream slippage and when things don't work right and whatever. And he looked at me and he said, John, I've been in the operating room. I have seen things happen that shouldn't happen. So when you tell me things like this, I say, cool. Then he told me some stories that I really can't tell. But he said, as a surgeon, things happen in a life or death situation that you don't understand. And it made me feel better. And I guess that has been the bonding of a long lasting friendship, that he doesn't think I'm crazy when I tell him about the craziness that can go on in the world that sometimes meets up with me and everything. So, and I think you know about that too. Because probably when did you first realize, Tammy, that you had some gifts in the psychic realm? Do you mind sharing that with us? Because that's really a cool thing to talk about.
Well, the first time that I had an experience, I was only 4 years old. And actually, I was outside at my grandmother's house, and I was sitting on her steps, and I looked across the street, and I could just feel like something was watching me. And as I sat there, I saw something that was clear, that you couldn't see it unless it moved. And I saw it move in the tree, and then all of a sudden, it jumped down, and it started running across the street straight at me. And it scared me to death. I was only, 4 or 5 years old, so I ran up the stairs and I tried to open the door and and I couldn't open it. And finally I opened it, and I ran in just as it hit the bottom of the steps, and it slammed into the door. And my mother thought that I had slammed the front door and yelled at me for slamming the door. I didn't tell her what really happened because I didn't think she believed me. But that was my very first experience with otherworldly beings. But my first sight, when I first realized I had psychic gifts, I've always had, deja vu and intuition and had things, little things happen. And I was very frustrated because I really wanted to connect with my spirit guardians. And, I was frustrated because I felt like I was so close, but I just couldn't get the messages that they were sending me. And so, I was talking to another friend of mine who is also a psychic, and she's like, you just need to fine-tune your radio dial. She's like, that's the best way I can describe it. She's like, it's right there. And so she helped me to do exercises and things to kind of fine-tune it, and then all of a sudden it was like a floodgate opened, and I was getting messages all the time, and I would go to sleep at night, and there'd be spirits all around my bed, and I closed my eyes, I was still awake and just closed my eyes, and I'd see all these spirits wandering around my yard. They're all just sitting there waiting for me because they wanted me to help them. They wanted me to pass on messages or to cross them over. And, I was like, I'm really new at this, guys, so you're just going to have to wait a while because I don't know how to help you yet. But it was amazing. Once I fine-tuned into where I needed to be, it's like it was always there. I just didn't look.
Well, now, Tammy, you mentioned something that has always intrigued me. And by the way, in case you didn't know, I ask questions that probably I shouldn't ask. I ask them live, and I don't care because it's nothing important. You talk about there are spirits that wanted you to help them cross over.
Mm-hmm.
Can you please explain that? I mean, I think I know. But I think a lot of folks that are listening to this show, and by the way, we have a ton of people listen to this show nowadays, and we're very happy, thanks to the Paranormal Network that puts us on, thanks to iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Spreaker, YouTube, thanks to, especially VOC Nation, Thank you, Brady Hicks and VOC Nation, that carries us live every Thursday night. So first of all, shouts to all of our friends that help us promote what we do. But explain what you mean by crossing over and how you would help a spirit cross over. Do you mind doing that?
For sure. Crossing over a spirit, well, first of all, a lot of the spirits that are here in our realm are here because they're either scared or they're not sure how, you know, to leave this realm, and they just can't do it by themselves. They, for whatever reason, when they passed, they decided not to walk into that light. And there is actually a light. So they're kind of just hanging around, you know, not really sure what to do. And so they started coming to me. And so I learned, you know, I studied and I learned how to be able to help them to move on to the next realm, because this is a 3D physical realm, and they don't really belong here. You know, they're able to come in whenever they choose, but some of them don't know how to get out. So what I do is I will, you know, focus my energy. I will light a candle, or, you know, a lot of times I'll be laying in bed getting ready to go to sleep at night, and I will, in my mind's eye, I will create a door, a doorway, and then I will invite the archangels to come down, and I will call them by name. I usually work with Uriel, Raphael, and Metatron mostly. But I will call them, and they will come and meet all of these spirits that are ready to cross, and they will help them. You know, sometimes they hold them by the hand, and sometimes they're just holding the doorway open, and they help all these spirits that have gathered around me, because anybody who has any kind of abilities emits a light, and spirits are drawn to your light. So, and it's not just human spirits, it's all entities that are not in physical form in this realm are drawn to your light. So I just help them to find their way, and the archangels will help them, guide them along into the next realm.
Okay, that's very interesting. So you say there are many spirits that are trapped or are a bit afraid to go to that light,
correct? And sometimes they have unfinished business, you know, they weren't ready to go. But sometimes it was just that, you know, they weren't ready. They weren't ready to not be alive, and they weren't ready to leave their families, and, you know, they're scared. Sometimes it's, you know, they did things that weren't so great in their lifetime, and they were scared of repercussions of going to hell, you know, things that they've been taught that would happen to them for their behaviors. So they were scared to go. They didn't want to be punished.
Right. That's interesting. I had a couple of conversations. There is a very famous school that burnt down in the early 1900s. It was Carver School in Kershaw County near Columbia, South Carolina. And what happened was that school burning down, and most in the school could not get out. That was the beginning of the fire codes for schools and public buildings, which certainly helped everybody else. But when we were out there, several of us felt there were a number of spirits that, and they were children that they didn't know how to cross over. And I also to get some folks that are trained to do that, because there are, you know, I'm guessing that a 7-year-old child might not understand the concept of crossing over. Would that be correct, Tammy?
Definitely. And they probably wouldn't want to leave because they wouldn't want to leave their parents.
Or they wouldn't want to, at least if they had died in that school, that one-room schoolhouse, they wouldn't want to leave their friends because they'd be frightened.
Correct? Yes, that too. And they may be scared that, you know, if somebody was supposed to come pick them up, that they wouldn't be there, you know, or they needed to stay there because somebody was coming to pick them up. So they had to stay where they were.
Right. Well, that's something that I'd like to talk with you about further. Not now, but, you know, that's one location that I have always felt that we needed to get a trained psychic down there to try to help cross over, because I believe that they're there. I've always believed they're there.
Oh, I would love to help you do that.
And I think that if you have enough, what's the word? If you are enough of an empath, you can tell when there's a problem like that and that you need to help, correct?
Definitely. You can feel the energy. I'm sure you, when you were there, you felt sadness, and, you know, some people might have even heard children crying, and, you know, it's very much a big change of energy when something tragic like that happens.
Well, I just felt a real sadness when I drove by there. I've driven by there a number of times just on my way from, you know, coming back from Camden to Myrtle Beach, and I just feel this sadness there. And that's something that I think needs to be taken care of. Now, you know, what, like when you talk to the clergy, when you talk to you know, people that, you know, I'm sorry, that's the word that I was taught. A lot of them do not discuss this or want to discuss this, correct?
Well, true, because I believe, and I'm not an expert because I don't really know, but I believe that it states in the Bible that ghosts do not exist, and that anything that is like a ghost is some kind of demon or something evil, and you need to, you know, not pay attention to it, and, you know, ghosts aren't real. So they don't want to discuss it because it goes against what they are taught to believe.
True, but, you know, then you just wonder there's a real difference between a lot of times what people are taught and what reality is, and there's a political correctness that exists everywhere. So, I mean, you know, it's just like, you know, what the heck do you do? But it's something that, you know, I would like to discuss with you further. I can say that I talked about a particular spirit in Camden, Agnes of Glasgow. And I had some ideas of Agnes, and Jenna had the same ideas. And what we determined was that, you know, you've got to individually look at the spirits and see their situation is. I've spoken with Jen about this. Talked about going into a very, very haunted area and how there was a lematic little younger spirit, 14, 15 years old. And he was being problematic because he was loved. She assured him he was. That particular problem started going away. How many, you know, could you maybe discuss just a little bit about any of the spirits you've helped? I know what we do is confidential as psychics. I mean, it's terrible. And a lot of people don't like that word, but that's what the word is. Can you discuss maybe an experience or two that you had with helping someone cross over?
I can definitely tell you in my own home, when I had first moved in there has been spirit activity for years in that home. And one of the previous tenants actually so scared that they were coming to attack her that she couldn't, she would sage, like, fill the entire house up with smoke so much that, you know, if the window was open, you would think that there was a fire in the home. She was so scared. She had to sage every single day to keep these spirits away from her. Turned out the spirits just didn't like her. So they just wanted her out of there. But when I moved in there, there's actually a portal. And for those who don't know, a portal, feels like a change of energy field, because it's like a tear almost. It's a doorway where spirits can come in and go as they please. But the thing about a portal is you don't control. You have no control over what comes into that doorway. So actually, I've discovered that there was a very nasty dark entity in my own basement. And once we moved in there, me having teenage children, it latched on to my teenage children and was causing issues with depression and suicidal feelings and anger. And, you know, I finally had had enough. And so we went through and we closed the portal. And the way that we closed the portal is that salt, blessed salt at it and blessed water, and, you know, said some things that I'm not going to tell you the exact words, but said some things to close the portal. And then we went down into, we started from the top and worked our way down to the basement and cornered this entity. And then we did a banishing, which is a process of, it depends on the person. You know, if you're a Christian, then you would say verses from the Bible. And if you're, you know, if you're of another religion, you use whatever religion works for you. And you use these words to empower yourself, empower your home, and to drive out these entities and keep them from ever returning to your home. So that is what we had to do. And it was, you know, it was a nasty thing. I actually saw physically with my own eyes what this thing looked like. The way that I found out about him is I was after my youngest daughter was born, I was changing her diaper in my bedroom, and I saw something in my doorway move, and through the crack in my door, between my door and my door frame, this entity walked by, and as he walked by, he looked directly at me, and it was, he was like in the flesh. I could see him in the flesh, and he looked directly at me and just looked at me and then turned and just kept walking out my door. And I was just amazed, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe that thing is in my house. You know, but he showed himself to me because he was trying to show me that he was powerful. Describe him and see him and recognize him. It was very easy for me to get rid of him because now I knew who he was. So that's one of the things that I've done. I have helped other people in similar situations, you know, where one of my friends, her husband, was very angry and depressed, and there was a lot of things going on in her home. And so I went to her home and helped her, you know, bless it. And I actually taught her how to make tar water. And tar water is a water that you make by gathering pine branches, and you put them in a bucket, and you have holes in the bottom of the bucket. And you have another bucket underneath that. Metal, obviously, would be what you would want to use, metal buckets. And you burn that pine, and as it burns, the pitch turns into a tar, and it drips down into the other bucket. And you mix that tar with blessed holy water, and you want to let it sit for a couple of days before you use it. But you can use that water to put on your windowsills, your windows, your doors, any place that you feel like you would have a spirit coming into your home, and it will prevent any spirit from ever entering your home ever again. Even if it gets washed off, then no spirit can ever enter into your home again. And so I taught her how to protect herself.
That's interesting. Where could we find out how to make that particular pitch?
Well, I actually learned it by looking online, but, you know, I tried to search it up to show it to my friend, and the post had, like, disappeared. So if you can find it, it would be probably on a YouTube video or something like that to learn how to make it. And they say they use specific pines, but really it doesn't matter which pine you use. So all pines take a very long time to grow, so their energy is very condensed. And that's why it's so strong.
Well, I was wondering if if I might be able to speak with you, if we might be able to put a post up on Scarycast about how to do this. Would you be okay with that? We could talk of something, you know, soon, not today, tonight, tomorrow, but I mean, just sometime in the next week and just put up how to do that. Would you be okay with that?
For sure.
I think that'd be good because I actually have access to the longleaf pine forest in Kershaw County and I think this would be something that they would like to even have card because a lot of people do believe in this like they should. So I mean, you know, I mean, I know, frankly, and I don't mind telling everybody, I mean, I have a Bible in every room in my house. And whenever I get scared and think something bad's going to happen, I grab a hold of that Bible. I mean, I don't know if anyone else ever does that, but that's what I do when strange things are happening.
I'm sure a lot of people do. You know, it gives you comfort and it gives you strength and it makes you, it empowers you to be able to do what you need to do.
I grab that Bible. I know that nothing is going to be able to hurt me. And that feeling can take care of a lot of problems. Because if people would realize it, there are a lot of dark spirits that enter in and around us. And we have to be careful about them, don't we?
Well, definitely. Like I said, anybody who has any kind of psychic abilities, even if you don't know that you do, you emit a light. And the stronger you are in those capabilities and your abilities, the brighter your light shines. And darkness is attracted to light.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. This of our conversation has been extremely interesting. These are some questions that I always wanted to ask you. And I'm glad that we had the chance to go over this because I think this is important for a lot of people. We all live in the world. The world is not just the physical, four-dimensional, up, down, left, right, and time world. There are other dimensions. There are other entities that show up. And I think we need to understand them. I know that traditional religion does not like to discuss them, but that's okay. You know, we need to understand how to take care of problems because problems do arise. As you said, if you don't mind me repeating this, you said that your kids have problems with depression and things like that you attributed to some of these bad entities, correct?
Yes, because when your teenagers are going through puberty, their energy is so chaotic because they're stuck between children and adults. And that makes their energy, you know, out of control and easily manipulated by other forces, easily influenced by other forces, because they see that there's weakness and some of their energy, and they can try to get in the energy field through that weakness.
Interesting. I like what you just said. I tell you what, I'll say this. I have a good friend, Israel Petty. He calls himself a demonologist because he studies these types of effects. And what I would like to do is I'd like to get you and Israel on this show together to have kind of a roundtable discussion with me and whoever else wants to join, because I think it would be very instructive for folks. I mean, I don't know, and maybe if you do, tell me, I don't know a lot of places where you can get and have a roundtable discussion in a legitimate manner about things like this. And I think this is a discussion that needs to be had. It's like a discussion that needs to be socialism, a discussion that needs to be had on democracy, needs to be had on what would be the best term. A discussion needs to be had on alternate spirits. What would you call it?
Well, probably just different entities. And you know, everybody thinks that
spiritually.
Everybody thinks that just because a spirit is dark, that it's evil, and that's not true. And I actually have worked with many entities and have had discussions with many entities that get very angry because, you know, the lack of understanding of this world. Everybody is scared of everything that is dark, but there are big differences between dark and evil. You know, a darkness is just an absence of light, and there are dark entities. It's easier for them to manifest as darkness because it takes a lot less energy than it does to manifest as light. I know I've worked with many entities that, you know, when they first approach me, they try to be, you know, really big, mean, and scary, but I can see through what they're projecting to what they actually are. And having conversations with these entities, they're like, you know, at first I thought you were just like all the rest, but, you know, I appreciate that you take the time to understand us before you decide to judge us.
Wow. Now, I'd never heard that, and that's very interesting, and I really do trust your judgment here, because the fact that there are dark entities that are not evil, they're just not citizens of the light. Do you mind sharing an interaction with one of them? I mean, you kind of did. Do you mind maybe filling that in? Because I think everybody listening to this would like to know more about that. I know I would.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah. For example, there was one entity when I was working on banishing the other one that was in my basement that I came across, and, you know, he was a dark cloud. It was a mist cloud. And at first, that was what he was projecting. But when I got down there, I didn't get that feeling, you know, that he was trying to harm me. So I stopped and I'm like, wait, who are you? And as I, you know, sat there and concentrated on it, it actually was an entity that was an old doctor, like many, many years ago doctor, when they wore those face masks that they used to stuff the herbs up in them to prevent them from catching the illnesses of their patients. That was the mask he was wearing. He's like, yes. And he kind of stopped and looked at me and cocked his head a little. He's like, how did you know that? I'm like, well, you're wearing a mask. And he's like, you can see me? And I was like, yeah, I can see you. And so we had conversations, and he told me he had actually died from contracting the plague from some of the patients that he was trying to treat, and that he was very angry that, you know, those herbs did not keep him from catching that the plague. So he was very, you know, thankful. He's like, I'm so glad that somebody finally sees me for who I am and not just some scary dark presence. And that was the because of that, they respect me and they allow me places that they don't allow many people to go. And by that, I mean they allow me, I'm able to walk in the underworld. And in underworld, I don't mean hell. I don't mean Summerland. I don't mean, you know, the place that you go when you die. But there is a realm of existence that is subterranean, I want to say. I mean, I can't really say that it's in the earth, but it is in a place that is subterranean. And I have been able to walk among so many entities, and they don't try to harm me. They don't try to scare me. Most of them are just walking, and I haven't discovered the destination of all of them because I haven't really stopped to talk to them, because I'm surprised when I go there, because the first time that I went there, I didn't try to go anywhere. I was asleep, and they pulled me down there and showed me. And I was like, what is this place? It kind of looked like great big caverns, you know, in the side of a mountain or something. But it's a lot of people walking to different destinations, and there's rooms and there's doorways. And I haven't gotten to discuss with any of them anything because everybody seems to have their own agenda when they're down there. But they see me, and they don't try to harm me. They know that I'm there, and I don't know. It's an amazing thing, and I'm looking forward to exploring it further. But, you know, they don't let just anybody in there. So I feel blessed that they allowed me into their realm.
All right, now, Tammy, I tell you what, we've got two callers that have called in that obviously want to say hello or something. I bet that's our buddy 484. That's Justin. How are you doing tonight, Justin?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing, Dr. John? How are you doing?
Great. And I'm glad you're here with myself and Tammy. And
hey, Tammy, how are you?
Glad to have you.
I'm well, thank you.
I have a question for you.
What is that, Justin?
Now for the dark entities. What causes the dark entities to be like I watched a TV show from the Zach Bagans house that he had before, and it was an evil spirit house and all that. What causes those spirits to have a dark entity behind them, and what causes them to lash out and try to hurt the living? What causes that? Was it something that they suffered through their life that they're trying to carry out, or is it something that they're not finished with?
Well, I'll tell you, in my discussions with them, they have told me that feeding off of the energy of somebody who is angry or scared is so much easier than trying to feed off other sources. And those energies are so strong that when they get a reaction from somebody that is scared of them, it gives them more energy to manifest and to move about. So they will feed off of that energy and encourage that behavior, encourage people to be scared, because I saying that nobody is bad? No, there are many bad, bad entities out there that maybe they were human and they were very angry in their life, and when they died, they continued to dislike certain things about people, and if they come across somebody who reminds them of somebody that they knew when they were alive, they may target them. But for them to lash out at somebody, usually, in my experience, it has been because they are reminded of somebody in their life, or they don't approve of something that the person is doing in their life now, or sometimes they're just mean, nasty entities, and they just want to hurt people because they think it's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. It's interesting.
That's a really good answer. Absolutely. We've also got a caller, 804. Does that happen to be Steve from WCW Retro? Hey, Steve, thanks for calling. You got a question for Tammy?
Yeah, I was just briefly listening before I called in, and it seemed pretty interesting, and I wanted to ask if you identify as a medium, because my mother identifies as a medium, and do you have any family members with similar abilities to yours?
Actually, yes. I actually come from a long line of gifted women in my family. Most of them didn't discuss it with us, and I didn't even know about it until I came out and was discussing it with my own mother. But my mother, my grandmother, and all three of my daughters are all gifted. One of my sons is, but he doesn't really like it and doesn't want anything to do with it. So he pretends that he doesn't and hopes that it will go away. But, yeah, I really think that it runs in families. It runs in your bloodline.
Interesting.
You know, Steve, I think you and I have talked about this a little bit in the past. And do you feel that sometimes you have some feelings about things that maybe aren't just totally from physical, that you might have some thoughts like that?
I don't have many experiences or thoughts. I think one time a friend of my mom was, I guess, in bad health, or I felt something, and he died soon after. But I don't have a lot of supernatural experiences. But I was wondering if there is a way for people to tap into that.
Is now that feeling that you had about that person that soon passed after that, would you recognize that feeling if you had it again?
Oh, it was like so long ago that there might be a possibility, but I just haven't felt that lately.
Okay, because you being able to do that means that you have the gifts to be able to do that. And I'm sure you have more than just that. You know, death is a very strong energy, and I can lay my hands on an animal and I can tell exactly where they are. Not even if they have it yet, but they're going to develop something, and I'm always right about it. You know, and it's not a good thing for me personally. I'm not, you know, it's not something that I set out to do, but it's helpful for my friends, you know, or and myself when I touch and I can feel that something is wrong, that I can tell them and they can take them to the vet and have them checked. Your gifts are there. And I actually think that every single person has the ability to be psychic if they would just allow themselves and believe in themselves. Believing in yourself is a very difficult thing to do when you're unsure and you constantly want proof and reassurance that you're right and that, you know, what you're feeling is correct. But you have to learn to trust yourself and practice it. You can start with small little things like predict, you know, say, okay, I'm going to do this tomorrow. And it may be something that you had absolutely no plan to do, but then the next day you find that circumstances arrange themselves and you end up doing that thing. You know, it's the ability to be aware of what is going to happen or how something feels or, you know, all different things depending on your abilities. But everybody has the ability within them. They just need to figure out how to tap into it. Or as my friend said, fine-tune your radio so that you can receive the messages from your guides. You know, whatever it is you're trying to develop, there's a way.
Great. Dr. John, carry on if you will.
Well, I was going to say, so that means lots of things are possible. You just have to believe in them. Is that correct, Tammy?
Yeah, and you have to learn to trust your instincts. You know, when you're in a fight or flight situation, you trust your gut. Your gut is your intuition.
I heard that.
That's exactly, yeah.
Into intuition.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Steve, please say that again, because I've got a comment about that.
Oh, I think there's a book called The Secret that kind of gets into intuition, and I'm not sure if that's where I heard it, but I heard that Nikola Tesla was into intuition a lot.
Oh, I believe that. He was a brilliant man.
Yeah. It's just
interesting
that
some
of these famous scientists they talk about intuitions. Tesla is one of them.
Well, I can share with you that he has some very interesting ideas in the medical field. And I have run around 25 years ago. I found a book about, it's called Magic Science of the Future, inventions that could perform basically magic, like an invention that if you put a very deadly bug that was harming a crop, you put it in there, it could hone in on its frequency, and it could kill all those bugs in the crop. Now, I truly believed that that existed. So, lo and behold, I found the only company in the world that makes that device, and is in Clayton, Georgia, where we're with the Georgia Bigfoot, and I am in touch with them. I'm going to see them. I've already seen them once. I'm going to see them again. And all of that's for real. Technology is part of what Cuba used to try to do brain damage to our ambassadorial staff there. So this is all for real. And this comes basically early out of Tessa through another folks. And I tell you what, Steve, I'll talk with you about this later away from the show, because I think you'll be interested in it, and I'll fill you in with it. And then maybe you and I can do a show here on ScaryCast, because that's what ScaryCast is about. It's about real science.
Right.
I mean, and you know, with Tammy, you know, talking about real experiences, these things that really work. And that's why I have people on the show, and Jen Cruz and Jenna Grover, everything, because the speculative fringe science of 2019 is the hard science of 2120. Tammy, would you agree with that?
Definitely. You know, we're discovering new things and new methods and practices every single day. And what seems weird and abnormal at first becomes the norm later on.
It really does. And thank you for agreeing. I hadn't asked you to agree with me or disagree, but that's what I found. My best example is it is the year 1901. And I'm going to look at you, Tammy, and I'm going to say, there's going to be a little black box. It's 3 inches by 5 inches, and you can press a button, and you can talk to someone and see them in China. And in 1901, I told you that, you would have told me I was crazy. Today,
or called you
Tammy,
a witch.
What would you? But today, what would you call that little device?
I'd call it a cell phone.
Yes, you would. So yeah, it's like, you know, and our world and our culture doesn't want to understand things like that. They just don't. But anyway, whatever. They'll we'll keep living, we'll keep learning and all that. Now I tell you what, all of us, we've got Justin on here, we've got Steve on here, we've got Tammy, our guest on here. Pedro and I am here. We've got a very special event coming up in about 5 seconds. A musical called the Sasquatch Squad called me, and they said, we've got some Bigfoot music. We want to produce that and show it at your events, which begins with the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. So Tammy, who is our guest tonight, they have a song called True World Hero, and it's about Bigfoot. In honor of Tammy and the She Squatchers, can we play this wonderful song by the Sasquatch Squad?
For sure. I'm interested to hear it.
Absolutely. They are awesome. And Justin, and please stay with us, because we're going to play the world premiere of True World Hero.
Acceptable, and individuals claim to see the creatures across North America.
All right, folks, you've heard the world premiere of Sasquatch Squad. You like it, Tammy?
That was great.
I thought it was awesome. They played it for me. I said, this is so great. I kind of pressured them to get this thing done because I wanted to get this out to everybody. This is, we will call this Bigfoot Rock. Is that a good name for it, Tammy?
I think that's a great name for it. That was pretty cool. I like that song.
Steve, what'd you think?
Well, I'm into the Goblin Rock, so I'm glad there's a Bigfoot Rock.
Well, we've got Bigfoot Rock. It was world premiered here on Scarycast. Justin, what did you think?
I thought it was pretty good. I liked it.
Well, I did too. I think it's great. And the courage for John Williams and his group, the Sasquatch Squad. We are so proud to world premiere that tonight. And I want everyone to hear it. And we want to promote these guys because Bigfoot Rock is very important. Now, I tell you what, Steve, you were talking about Goblin Rock. Tell everyone a little bit about that, if you don't mind, so that we can then caricaturize Bigfoot Rocks.
Oh, well, there's an album by Primus, I think it's their one of the most recent albums, called The Desaturating Seven, and Les Claypool claimed it to be Goblin Rock. There's also a rock band called Goblin years ago, but I'm more into Primus, and I thought it was interesting that he chose to label that album, Desaturating Seven, as Goblin Rock.
Did you say
cool.
It was Primus?
Yes.
I like Primus.
Playful. Yeah, I saw them, I think, two or three times. Yeah, I just love their sound.
Well, I can tell you, for those that don't know, Primus wrote the theme to what major show?
South Park.
South Park. That's right. And it was a wonderful song, you know, going down to South Park. What a good song. Congratulations, Primus, and thanks to all the contributions from the chef, the one and only chef, Isaac Hayes. South Park has done a lot for our culture. But all I got to say is, Sasquatch Squad, you guys are the best. And we're going to have you on here in a couple of weeks. And we're going to be promoting you throughout all of our conferences, Bigfoot Conference, Tennessee Bigfoot Conference, and more. And Tammy, the She Squatchers will be at the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference, right?
For sure. We had such a blast last time. We can't wait to go back and do it again.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. Matt Delph will be there. Papa Stroh will be there. Angelia Shear of Tennessee MUFON. She's the executive director. John Dixon will be there. We're going to have so many. Rick Rellis of Bigfoot Research Organization, he's scheduled to be there. We're going to have a lot of fun down there because not only Bigfoot research about going out and finding Sasquatch, but, you know, it's about the fellowship that we have when we hang out with each other, right?
Yeah, we actually had the best time with you and meeting Angelia and Dale, her man, and Matthew and Papa Stroh. We just had such a blast meeting everybody and going out to eat and hanging out and doing the conference. It was not just about the conference. It was about all of us getting together and talking shop and exchanging ideas and all sorts of things. It was a very, very great time, and we are so looking forward to coming back again.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're looking forward to having you back. It was so much fun. And I want to say thank you so much. You have been a wonderful guest here on Scary Cat. We talked about a lot of things. I'm looking forward to re-listening to this episode. And will you come back again sooner than later? And let's continue the discussion about the psychic world and Bigfoot. Do that?
I definitely will. Definitely.
Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate having you. We appreciate having our guests. We have Justin. We have Steve. Thank you, Papa Stroh, for being with us early on. And Tammy, it's been wonderful. So I look forward to having all of you back on ScaryCast. We'll be back next week with another great show. We'll have actually, next week we got Angelia Shear from
I just love her.
Tennessee Mufon. Oh, she's great.
She's a great
lady.
I love her.
So I tell you what, I will call each and every one of you. Everybody better know this. I call all my guests after the show, so I'll call each and every one of you. Thank you so much for being with us. And this is ScaryCast. We will be back next week. And, of course, we'll be featuring music by the Sasquatch Squad. What a great band from Atlanta. They're going to rival REM and the B-52s. I can guarantee it. Thanks a lot, guys. We'll see you next week on ScaryCast. Bye.